It's the Hopwood Financial Plan for 2019. Please listen to episode 26 before you listen to this one. Seriously, don't listen to this one until you've listened to episode 26.
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 52 of Finding True Wealth. Hopefully, you followed my simple instructions and listened to episode 26 just now, or recently. If you haven't, you should really pull over and navigate to that one first. It's episode 26, posted on January 13th of 2018. It was actually the second most downloaded episode last year, probably because people are genuinely interested in what a CFP does with their money. It's like, what is the workout that your trainer does? What are the foods that your nutritionist or doctors eat? Sadly, there are some out-of-shape trainers and fat nutritionists. You can just tell. But when you look at a CFP, you don't really know if they're eating their own cooking. And in my experience, there are many advisors who are very poor with money. My philosophy is always to be 100% authentic, 100% transparent, and we believe that we can educate you and guide you in this fashion with authenticity, then we can inspire you to make great decisions. And, you know, this is not my template for you. This is my template for me. It's just what I'm doing. And you and I have different situations, so keep that in mind. But in general, I believe that if you follow these general principles, that you will have financial success and security. Now, we have different ways that we all think about money, but ultimately, we all want safety and security, and we want to know that we're not going to run out of money. And these are the decisions that I make for our family each day, each month, each year, to ensure our family's safety, security, and our financial goals will be reached. And remember that we are small business owners, so it falls 100% on us to save for our own future. We don't have a pension. There's no 401k match from a company. You know, it's all on us. So again, listen to episode 26 first because it has the foundation that everything that we're going to talk about today, because we haven't really made a lot of changes from 2018 to 2019. First thing is cash flow and emergency reserves. Same thing. You know, emergency reserve, we have a nice backup fund. We keep money with our bank. Now, I will say that banks are paying interest. So if you're not making at least 1%, even 2% on your emergency reserve, you should look at maybe a new promotion that your bank has or an online bank account. We use Capital One 360. It's not an endorsement. We also have an Ameritrade brokerage account that now has money markets where we pay over 2%. It's not an advertisement, not an endorsement, but there are programs that pay interest. So now that the Fed has been raising rates, time to reconsider where you're holding your emergency reserve. We also talked about health insurance. We continue to have a HSA plan where we have a high deductible. Unfortunately, the premium keeps going up, and we're reasonably healthy, so when we go to the doctor, we pay out of pocket. We never hit our deductible. So basically, the insurance company is just cashing our checks each month and not giving us any benefit. And it's kind of like a homeowner's insurance where you pay and pay and you never make a claim. But when someone gets cancer or when the house burns down, you need it. So we are funding our HSA account, and the maximum is going up each year. So every year we make sure that we adjust to hit that max. With life insurance, we continue to believe that term is a fantastic way to go for a young family with young children where you need a lot of coverage for cheap. But we did make a change last year. We bought a universal policy for me where we can build some cash value and have it grow on a tax well, ultimately it should be a tax-free basis if we do it right later in life for a retirement addition. So I traditionally favored term, but we decided to do this for our family last year. And for disability insurance, we continued to buy as much disability insurance as possible. The insurance gap that we have is long-term care. Didn't talk about this in the last episode because we don't have any long-term care, but at this moment, I'm 39. I'll be 40. My wife will be 40 this year. I don't really see a need to buy long-term care at this age. I think maybe in 10 years or more, we would consider that. But it is a risk, you know, that you have a disability which leads to long-term care and can be just absolutely terrible for your financial position. And it can ruin your retirement, but also the stay-at-home spouse. So if I go into a nursing home and my wife is healthy and at home, you know, her retirement is now could be ruined financially because all the money would be going to the nursing home. So there are some interesting different types of policies that are available now to cover long-term care, where it's like a hybrid life insurance, long-term care insurance. You want to go back and listen to the episode, forget the episode number, but it's the one where we talk about long-term care with Michael Tepper. Let's see. Okay, what are we doing each month to save for the future? Just like last year, we're putting money into our after-tax trust accounts at Ameritrade. That has not changed, and we're continuing to invest with our UMAX models and with our municipals. And with our kids, we're continuing to add $50 a month to their investment accounts, and we're continuing to add $500 a month to each kid's 529 account. The one change that we made this year, last year we were adding to a simple IRA, but this year we decided to change to a 401k because the limits are higher and we could do a bigger match. So, and we could also do a Roth 401k if we wanted to in the future. So the limit for a simple is $13,000 and the limit for a 401k is $19,000. So we were able to do that in 2019 and save more for retirement with a tax advantage. We're also doing a backdoor Roth IRA, which allows us to put money into a traditional non-deductible IRA and then immediately convert to Roth IRA with no tax due. This gives us our pre-tax investments, which benefit us today, but we have to pay tax on them later. Gives us our Roth investments, which are tax-free forever, and it gives us our after-tax investments, which are the trust accounts, where we can invest in tax-free munis or stocks and ETFs and mutual funds, which where we would have capital gain treatment. The point is, in retirement, we'll have all three tax buckets, if you will, and we'll be able to manage our taxes in retirement with flexibility. Sadly, a lot of people today have been told, hey, you have Social Security, maybe you have your pension. If you add to your 401k, you'll be all set. The problem with that, it's good advice. The problem with it is that you might have a couple million dollars in your 401k when you retire, and it's all pre-tax money. And that means that when you retire, you have nowhere to hide from the tax man. It's like a ticking time bomb for taxes, where every dollar is taxed. There's nowhere else to source income from. With real estate, we've continued to purchase real estate properties financed through our home equity line of credit. You might want to reference episode 6 and episode 24 when talking about real estate rentals. We had a goal of buying one duplex each year, but we had a couple of opportunities come our way with some off-market options where we actually purchased a fiveplex in Pinckney, a duplex in Whitmore Lake, and a duplex in Plymouth. So we added 9 units last year, which I had no anticipation was going to happen, but it came up, so we did it, and we used debt. And I'm not a fan of debt, but You know, if you want it, you have to source funds. So we use the home equity line of credit. We come in as a cash buyer, which is appealing to the seller. And then we just use all the rental income to pay back the home equity line of credit. So right now, I'm out of the game. I'm looking at the balance on this home equity line of credit, and I'm highly motivated to pay it off, like laser focused. We're going to pay that off. It's got to be gone. So that's a huge change from last year, because at this time last year, it was pretty much, I don't think it was a zero balance, but it was very negligible. Now it's a big balance. So big changes going from a simple to a 401, ramping up that line of credit to buy more property. We also added a second way of accessing funds. We, as I mentioned, we have our after-tax brokerage accounts with our trust. Well, we signed up with a company that will allow us to borrow against that, and we use that money to purchase some property as well. So it works like this. Let's say you have $100,000 in your brokerage account. Well, the bank will, the third-party bank that kind of partners with TD Ameritrade will give you $50,000 of a loan, and they use your brokerage account as collateral. So it works out pretty nice. The interest rates are reasonable, and it's pretty simple to make a payment or to draw the balance. So I actually used part of that to fund some of these properties as well. And finally, when we're looking at rental properties, we had a couple of the very two first properties we ever bought back in like 05. They were single family homes. And when you look at the rate of return on the single family home versus a duplex or a fiveplex, it has a different characteristic, because you're only cashing one rent check each month, and you have most of the same insurance and property taxes. So the rate of return is almost always lower. It might be like a 6% return, whereas if you're doing everything right and purchasing it right on a duplex, it could be more like a 10% return. And so as we ramped up this home equity line of credit, we decided to sell off these underperforming single-family homes and basically trade a 6% return for a 10% return. So we did those as well. And I think that is about it. Keep in mind, this is not a recommendation or advice of any kind. It's not anything that we specifically recommend for you. It's just our plan for our family. And I think that it gives you an idea of how we think about money. It speaks to our authenticity and we might recommend some of these strategies to people, but for some, it might be unsuitable. So the point is, if you're looking for a second opinion and you like the way that we think about money, or if you're in need of some financial planning coaching, or if you have over $500,000 to invest, check us out at peakwm.com/prospects. You can sign up for our weekly email. You can schedule an appointment. You can create your own online portal at planwithpeak.com and watch some cool videos we put together. Look forward to speaking with you next time. Take care.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopley. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace, or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a State of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.